Every decision in life is a spiritual decision. Now, I said, I'm going to stick with the word every. Some are mundane. You've had so many mundane decisions you've made this morning, you just do them rotely, you don't even think about that. But I'm going to give a little example here. I would say that it's even a spiritual decision how you adorn yourself in the morning. You know, somewhere along the way, there's a foundation of who you want to be and what you want to represent and what you want to present to the world. And that decision influences everything that you do in the morning when you get ready. I was talking about last week, you know, we had a water issue at our house. I hate water issues. And yes. And Christy said, call the man, and I did. I said, I can fix this. She said, yes, honey, you can. But we don't have a month to wait around. Yeah, call the man. But so here we have these situations, and I had to go out to the street and turn the water on and off, right? And I was telling James and Tracy, I said, you know, here I was early in the morning hopping out the street, because every neighbor's outside, you know, everybody's riding down the, you know, I was in my house coat, not really, but I had you know, pulling the thing up to turn the water on for those couple of days until the man got it settled, and he did a good job, got that thing going, and you don't appreciate running water till you don't have it, right? So I think about the decisions you make. How you adorn yourself is a decision. What you eat is a decision. Those are small decisions, but they still are decisions founded in some spiritual thought. Let me give you some scripture. Psalm 143:10, Lord, teach me to do your will. Now, it does not say teach me your will. It says teach me to do your will. As we come to know the Lord and His character, His will becomes obvious. His will is right there. We approach Him. I'm submitted to Him. I am like Him. And we even see in the Lord's Prayer, right? When the model prayer Jesus taught to pray, He mentioned God's will. What did He say? Your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So we know immediately that if we're in this flow of God's will, we're in the flow of the heavenly will. What is done there should be done here. And I pray, I don't do it like I should, but I pray in the mornings sometimes, or in the afternoons, whenever it might be. I said, Lord, I want to be part of bringing your will here. I want to be part of bringing your will to earth. And I think about that. So one more thing about that. Jesus said, I have come not to do my will, but to do what? The will of the one who sent me, the will of my Father. So what is God's will for your life? It is to do God's will. I know that sounds simple. Let me give you some points. Number one, and these are not on this outline. This is just about decision making and God's will. Number one, walk with God. If you want to be in the decision making mode that God wants you to be with, walk with Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you don't have these verses memorized, you need to memorize them. I can even teach you a little song, but I won't do it now. But it's a song to memorize this. But you know the words. You've heard them, even if you don't have them at the forefront of your mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct. He will make your paths straight. I'm doing this because we learned a children's song, Make Your Paths Straight. And I think about this almost every day. Lord, how can I trust in you with all my heart? I do not trust in man. Now, I'm going to step out here on a limb. I don't trust the doctor. I appreciate the doctor, and I trust what they say, but my trust is not in the doctor. My trust is not in what I see on TV. It is not in, you know, what the systems of this world. You know, you might trust that some of you have a Social Security check that comes in. You trust that thing's going to come in every month. Every now and then they get interrupted. So what happened? Or you might trust that the company you work for is going to be there tomorrow, and sometimes they're not there tomorrow. So I trust in the Lord. I lean not on my own understanding, because I can't understand this stuff. I look at the Middle East, and it's like the friend of a friend is your enemy and all this kind of stuff. I don't understand that. It's beyond me. And I know some people like to spout off like they understand it. They really don't. But, you know, I don't understand it. So I don't lean on my own understanding. The Bible instructs me as a husband. You know what it instructs me to do? Love Christy as Christ loved the church. You know how hard that is? You know how a full-time job that is? And it's not because she's unlovable. It's because It's hard to love like Christ loved the church. Lay myself down for her. Consider her above myself. It says in another part of Scripture, you know, understand your wife so that your prayers will not be hindered. I start a lot of times to say, Lord, what does it mean to understand my wife? And I made a study of that. What does it mean to understand? Understand her frame. Understand her ways. What makes her tick, not what makes me tick. Anyway, trusting in the Lord, not in my own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. So number one, walk with God. Number two, surrender your will to His will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beg you, or in the King James it says, I beseech you, right? I love that word, beseech you, brethren. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. How do we prove? How do we have the will of God? We submit our bodies. That means our desires, our temporal desires. You know, the things we like. The things that really give us jollies. You know, what is it that motivates me? I want those motivations to be submitted to the Lord. I want to present that as a sacrifice to Him. You know, I don't suggest doing this, and we don't have to do this. But it is interesting when you think about things like the Seder meal and so forth. And one of the things they would eat the bitter roots in order to remind them what it was like out in the desert and what it was like in the bitterness of being in Egypt. And I don't suggest you go get a bunch of bitter stuff and eat them. You don't have to do that. But in your mind, you can at times. And think, Lord, you know, I would sacrifice all the sweetness of this life if it meant separation from you. I would rather have a diet of rutabagas and onions. Gives me the chills to think about. If it meant being separated from you, I would give up milkshakes. And you get the point. All these silly things, but I present myself as a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service. It is acceptable and reasonable that I do this. And I will not be conformed to this world. You know, it is an amazing thing when you think about food. I meant to bring it, but have you ever seen the old McDonald's, the first menu they had? Hamburgers for 15 cents. Sounds good, right? Here's what they had at hamburgers. Now, if you really wanted something, you could have a cheeseburger. They had fries, they had cold drinks, and they had shakes. So when you went to McDonald's, you could get a burger or you could get a cheeseburger. And you could get fries, and you could get drinks, and you could get a shake. Have you gone into McDonald's lately? I have to stay out there because, you know, I can't eat that stuff if I want. But you go in there, it is overwhelming. There's menus everywhere. You can get this, that, and the other. And same with all the fast food places. Because, you know, they understand the more we can feed the desires of the flesh, the more business we can turn over. Now, they get us, don't they? They know how to get us. Well, I think about that in my own life. How many times do I let the hook be set in me? They set the hook. If you drive this Lincoln, you and Matthew McConaughey will be able to go through the things tonight. Yeah. And it's going to be a dream, you know. Well, Jesus was willing to die for us. So shouldn't we be willing to live for Him? Surrender your will for God's will. A husband, when you get married, when you stand there, and when I do premarital counseling, I say this. When you stand there, you as a husband are saying, I'm dying to me and I'm living for her. It's about her now, not me. That doesn't mean we don't have compromises. That doesn't mean I don't get my way. You know, I don't get what I want to eat. So all that kind of stuff. But it's about her, not me. I'm sacrificing. And it's an analogy of what Jesus did for us. Number three, obey what you already know to be God's will. Sometimes we use the word struggle. Elizabeth Elliot, I remember in 1983, I was sitting there and Elizabeth Elliot was talking and she said something and it kind of got next to me and it's been in my mind ever since. And that lady put that there, and I hadn't been able to get rid of it. She said, usually when people say they're struggling with something, what they really mean is I'm postponing the obedience. And that's really true. Sometimes I look in Scripture, and it's real clear. You know, if we go to 1 Thessalonians 4:3, sexual immorality, it's real clear. And we can start by doing what we know to be God's will, being agents of the Word of God. Number four, yes, seek godly input. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Sometimes it is best to ask. You ask the people closest to you, what do you think about this? Could you pray about this for me? At 9:59 this morning, I received a text from Monty Mills. Some of you don't know Monty. Monty and Linda, they were with us on Wednesday night. Monty and Linda have been missionaries to South Africa. They're here in the United States. They attend. They were part of one church on Sunday, but they're part of our group on Wednesday nights. And Monty said, I'm praying for y'all this morning. Well, you know, you got to think ahead and say, you know, I want to encourage somebody. Now, at our men's group Wednesday, Monty, you know, brought us a message, had good hot dogs and all that. But then we had this Bible study. And I think, you know, you have to think in advance and bring godly input to things. Now, around our house, around in our family, I'm a person who does not shy away about giving people advice and telling things. Would you agree with that? Don't shy away. And I just say, I just want you to know this. I would feel bad if I didn't tell you this, you know. And, you know, oh, God, we got it, you know. And sometimes the counsel is unasked for. But when we have decisions to make, wise counsel should be sought. What do people think about this? I mean, excuse me, not what the world thinks. But what do people around me, can you see this? I'm praying about this. How do you see me fitting in here? Do you think it fits my giftedness? What about my talents? Would it be good? And some people give a caution, and it mean you let them rule out things, but good counsel is very worthy. Number five, pay attention to how God has wired you. Now, there are two things we're given. We're given talents and abilities, and then as we become Spirit-filled, we're given spiritual gifts. Those two things are different. One is a gift given to you in a supernatural way. One you're kind of born with. Some of us are born these ways. We're talking about providence. I use this silly example. I use it again. I can use it again and again and again because it's a great providential example. I can work. By the way, let me just ask you, do you believe you can be anything you want to be? No. Yeah. No way. You can be a lot of things. You can't be anything you want to be. Because I have a dream. I have a dream to be the center of the Boston Celtics. I worked hard at doing this. I said, I worked hard in the driveway. I'm going to be the best center the Boston Celtics ever had. But there is a providential problem with that. I am 5'10½" or 9½" or whatever I am. And Jim, I'm smart enough to know that the Boston Celtics are never going to have a 5'9" center. So providentially, I can want it, I can dream it, I can claim it. But I have been built with this limitation here, so I cannot physically do that. What are you wired for? What are your passions? What are your talents? I was so upset last night, which is not unusual. We're out of ice cream. No, I have this issue with printing from my computer, and I was sending it here, and I was just so frustrated. And I said, Christy, I've got to ask for your help, and I always have to ask for her help to do things when it comes to I can't even say the word, right? Technology and so forth. And I said, can I have your help? And I was frustrated because I have to ask for her help because something I'm just not getting. You ever get frustrated because you're not wired a certain way? Well, I'll tell you what, though. When it comes to algebra, I love algebra. I can do that. I can sit and do that for hours. I can't use proper English half the time. When I was a kid, they had experimental math and experimental English. Did any of you ever diagram sentences?
Oh, yeah.
You know how many days I spent diagramming sentences? One. Christy says I had no font, and she's right. Yeah, well, I've been spending the rest of my life trying to catch up, and I hate English because there's all these exceptions to the rule. Anyway, so I've really got it off here. But how are you wired? What dreams do you have? What breaks your heart? What passions do you have? Let me read this verse, 1 Peter 4:10. And each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We not only have talents, we've been spiritually gifted. Don't squander it. It's not for you. It's for everybody else. The way you're wired is not for you. It's for everybody else. God put you here. You know, He said, I need one like you. And He put you here. Don't squander it. Number six, listen to God's Spirit. We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. Hearing from the Lord. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now we hear through God's Word. That's where we start. And we don't hear something to go against God's Word. We don't get into that. But we have to stop and pray sometimes. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to look in your Word. And I'm going to keep getting in your way and I want to hear from you. What is the next step of my career? What is the next step of my ministry? What is the next step for our family or my marriage or education or finances? What is the next step? Do any of you have any next steps coming? Oh, we all do, right? What is the next step? And sometimes I don't even want to think about the next step. It's a little overwhelming to think about right now. I just want to play ostrich and keep my head right here for right now. But there are always next steps to come, and there are decisions to be made. Harry said on the way over, he said, I called her sister's name and said, the husband's asked me, he said, help me put something on the tombstone. There's a decision to be made. You know, we have, like we were talking about, marriage is coming. There are decisions to be made. People every day decide whether they are rejecting the Lord or they're going to serve the Lord, whether they're going to listen or not. Number seven, listen to your heart. When you know the Lord, listen to your heart. Don't listen to your heart before that, because the heart can be deceitful. But once you are walking with the Lord, the great verses out of Psalm 37, 4 and 5, delight yourself in the Lord. Do you see the Lord as a delight? Delight yourself in the Lord. We were singing a song a while ago. There, He's a Redeemer. Do you know He has redeemed us? Not only from our sins, but from the pit. He has redeemed us. We're not trash. We're valuable to Him. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you what? The desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. If I go back to Genesis 24, Rachel, when she's talking about, you know, all the things going on in her life, she simply says this, the Lord led me. And when we get into the flow of God's Word, we get into the flow of the direction of the Lord, He will lead you. And He will allow the desires of your heart to start bubbling forth. And give me the desires of my heart, because I am trusting in you. Now, I want us to look here. Well, one more thing. Number eight, take a look at your circumstances. Your circumstances determine a lot. Do not let them limit you, but do take a look at them. In Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, let me read this passage. Now, when they had gone through Phygira and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come, the Spirit did not permit them. And I look at that caution there. They were forbidden to go to a certain area. They wanted to go to Asia to preach, but the Lord kept them from going for now. Have you ever been kept from going for now? Has God ever said, not now? Maybe not ever, but not now. I want to do this, Lord, not now. I really want this, Lord, not now. I can look back at my life and the things when I got the not nows and maybe even some not evers, I look back with great delight because, I missed a big pothole there because of the not now. God has a plan that is beyond us. What are your circumstances? And your circumstances tell a lot about where you are and where you're going. Now, Numbers chapter 32, there's a fascinating passage of Scripture and it talks about motivation. Now, the people of Reuben, this is verse 1, and the people of Gad had a very great number of livestock. And they saw the land of Jazer in the land of Gilead, and behold, the place was a place for livestock. Let me paint the picture. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And these two tribes, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad, they saw fertile ground on this side of the Jordan River. And it said they went to Moses. And they went to Moses and, can we camp here and so forth? And they struck a deal and they decided to camp on this side of the Jordan River because they looked into the promised land and they didn't see the fertile ground. Now, the God had told them, he was leading them not to just go into the promised land, but go deep in the promised land. And they saw this barren land there and they saw the fertile ground on this side. So they said, we are going to stay here on this side. Now, there are a lot of people in life, that's where their problem is. They want to stay on this side of the Jordan River. I want to stay right here because I see with my eyes the fertile ground. I see with my eyes how it can work. I see the finances here. I see the relationships here. And therefore, since I can see it with my eyes, I will stay here. And I'll tell you, that's a bad motivation. Because motivation that can only be seen with the eyes is a temporary fix. God calls us to have faith. What do you not see? How can I bring you past what you do see to what you do, what you do see to what you cannot see yet? A second piece of this is that they simply went where there was the perceived the most blessings. And we saw a couple of examples of that in the last couple of weeks, and we'll get to that in a minute. So let me mention some points. Number one, they allowed their cattle to determine where they would live. You know, it sounds silly, right? We have a bunch of cows. We're rich in livestock. Therefore, we will allow our beast to determine where we live. I see this all the time. I see parents letting kids, I'm not talking about big kids, little kids, determine their life. It's the tail wagging the dog. It's not, we are setting forth this, and within these parameters, you have this flexibility, and we will participate in that. No, they allow the kids to dictate to the parents. You know, I'm soapbox. I'll get on and get off real quick. But even in the schedules we have now, we all have to bend to them. We, somewhere along the way, allowed these schedules to get out of whack. As parents, as communities, we just allowed this. And there was a greed and there was a reaching for something. And we allowed schedules to get so out of whack that our kids today are running to and fro like never before. Now, the good old days were not always good. I get that. But do you remember as kids going into the backyard and just playing and playing and playing and playing? And sometimes it seems like kids don't even have time to do that anymore. Well, anyway, all right, back off the soapbox. They allowed their cattle to determine where they would live. These 2.5 tribes must have been noticing for several days the grass, the fertile field. And we can rest here. We want to live here, Moses. Not in that promised land that, you know, I know they brought back those big grapes and all that. But we want to stay here. It reminds me of Pharaoh in the plagues. Do you remember? The plagues would come, and that great line when the plague of the frogs came, and I got to tell you, man, the frogs give me the willies. But anyway, the plague of the frogs, and Pharaoh looked at Moses, and he said, I entreat, that was the King James word, but I beg you, I ask you, I tell you to remove this plague from us. Do you remember when he said to do it? Tomorrow. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was up to my kneecaps in frogs, I would say, Moses, please move this now. And that whole one more night with the frogs is a great, I mean, that'll really preach, man. We just want one more night. I want to stay on this side of the Jordan River. Number two, the obvious is not always God's will. I think I put it a little different there in the outline. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah. The seemingly open route is not always God's will. What is the easiest route? Maybe a snare. What looks like the open road may not be an open road from God. The promotion that you think you want may not be the best promotion for you. There are people that do not give a thought to their families when it comes to career promotions. Of course you take the career promotion, regardless of what it might do to your family. So the seemingly open route is not always God's route. And sometimes
you can get into a lot of trouble. Look at verse 4 there. The land that the Lord struck down before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. I can just hear Moses talking to these people. Fellas, don't build your homes there. You're on the wrong side of the river. You're selling yourself short here, guys. Go on over into the promised land. You're stopping too soon. Canaan's going to be better than this. And I can almost looking back at Moses and say, listen, Moses, we love you, buddy. We love your staff. We love everything you've done for us. But I tell you, we have got cattle, and that's good ground for cattle. It's open. We're taking it. And a lot of people take the short-term fix. I'll get it today because it's open today. The obvious is not always God's will. As a matter of fact, it may be just the opposite. That's why you trust in the Lord and not on your own understanding. Because when you trust in your own understanding, the obvious looks like God's will. Number 3, the decision not to go over would influence others also. Verse 7, get this. Why will you discourage the heart of the people of Israel from going over into the land that the Lord has given them? Now, you think you make a decision in a vacuum. It's never in a vacuum. It can discourage other people. This is the first time probably in Scripture that we see this lasting impact of a decision. And Jesus talked about it in the New Testament. We see even Paul writing about, I will not cause my brother to stumble. We think ahead. How is this going to impact others? How is what I'm going to do today going to have a lasting impact? We saw last week Elimelech and Naomi. They decided, let's go to Moab because the ground is fertile. They went to there and it was a disaster. We saw a couple of weeks ago, Abraham and his nephew Lot. Lot said, Lot's servants and Abraham's servants were fighting. And Lot said, I want the fertile land. And Abraham said, you pick first. And he said, I want the fertile land down by Sodom. And that was a disaster. When we start picking with our own understanding, decisions can have lasting impact. Number four, out of this passage, their families were raised on the wrong side of the river. Verse 26, our little ones, our wives, our livestock, and all our cattle shall remain there in the cities of Gilead. And Gilead was on the wrong side of the Jordan. And I think about that being on the wrong side of the tracks. You've heard that expression, right? Being in the wrong spot. And here was the ultimate consequence. There were unintended consequences because the generations went by, and about 152 years later, that leads me to point 5, they were the first ones captured when the enemy came. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 26, you can read about this. So here they were. They decided the fertile land was the better land, and it impacted not only them, but their children, their children's children, and their children's children's children. It had a lasting impact. There are sins in our families that have impacted us. There are decisions that were made in the 1800s that still impact us today and even beyond. Sometimes we need to be wiped of generational sin. We understand that. But things that happened then can impact now. I didn't bring this in, but you've probably seen this thing about Jonathan Edwards, and I can't remember who the other person was, and one guy was given to alcohol, and he had all kind of issues, and Jonathan Edwards, and they followed their family trees out. You've seen that, and so many people were in despair in this family, and Jonathan Edwards' family, so many great things happened. That's not by accident. Following God's will, making proper decisions, protect the house. You've heard that expression, right? Protect this house. How do you protect the house? Being in the flow of God's will and making sure that you do not go for what is seemingly your own understanding. The other side of the Jordan River is the side of materialism. But seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Don't stop short. Go to the promised land. The other side of the Jordan is the land of promise, and that's where we want to be. I don't want to be on this side. I want to be on that side. On this side, we see bad influences. On that side, that's where God is. On this side of the river, we see the permissive will of God. God allows things. But on that side, we see the directive will of God. I want to be in the center of His heart. On this side of the river, it will end up being barren. But on that side, we see Jesus give this promise, whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Which side of the river will you camp? I want to be, in all my decisions, a promised land decision maker. I want to be in the will of God. I want to get in His flow and trust not in my own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all my ways. He directs my paths. The Bible says that a man makes plans, but God directs his steps. So we plan, but I pray, Lord, as I plan, I do not want my plans to go against what you have for my steps. You order my steps. You know my frame. If we have people graduating, high school graduation is this week. One more week of school for Denise. If summer comes, swimming pools, movie stars, all that kind of stuff. And we love summer, except for the hot. But we love summer, and it's like a new lease on life. And I start thinking about how we have the pleasures of life and the small things we have pleasure in. What do you like? What's your favorite summer treat? Cold watermelon? Ice cream? You can't beat ice cream. You have all these favorite summer treats, and you just enjoy that. Have you ever thought about the fact that when we do not trust in our own understanding, we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He directs our paths, and He directs us to a place of sweetness. The promised land is a sweet land, not a barren land. God wants to prosper you, not to harm you. Let's pray for ourselves, yes. Let's pray for our kids' kids, if we are that far along in life, that they will have proper decision-making techniques based on being in the will and the flow of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, help us to have good motivation in all that we seek to do. I pray, Lord, that we will not be like the people of Reuben and Gad who saw the field and said, we're going to go for the short-term fix rather than the promised land. Or the Lot and his family, or Elimelech. Help us, Lord, to instead stay put and be in your will. Stay put and be in your flow. And when you lead us to go to a land that we don't know, we'll follow. Lord, help us to know that as we devour your word, as we spend time with you, that your will for us specifically and generally will become more and more apparent every day. Help us to reside. Help us to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.